Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison. We are live in the WBT studios, and what a great day to be in Charlotte. It is certainly a Chamber of Commerce day out there. Beautiful, beautiful day to be in this area. I think this is why I moved here. It's a great day. If you're just tuning in, this is the show, Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with Jamison Realty with Keller Williams and Jamison Property Management. And this is live. I've got a great special guest in with me today, and we're going to talk to her in just a second. But let me tell you, if you're out there today driving around or you're sitting at home and you're listening to us today, and I know there's more than three of you, which there is, that, and I know at least of two, there's a couple of folks, Davida and Dennis, out there listening. I know for sure. But if you're out there listening today and you have a real estate question, a real estate legal question, a piece of real estate that you're interested in doing something with, you don't know if you should do this to it, do that to it. You know, is it you have a renter that's giving you a problem, you have a piece of land you're wanting to do something with, you have an upgrade you want to do. Think about what all of those things could be. You need to call us. All right? Here's how it works. You call 704-570-1110. Again, it's 704-570-1110. Jesse picks up the phone. He gets your quick question. Make it quick with him. And he'll ask for your phone number in case we get disconnected. Sometimes we have been known to lose a call or drop a call, and we'll call you back. And then we'll put you on the air with us, and we'll work through your question together. This is not a chastise show. This is an information show. So if you're thinking it, we certainly want to hear it. Again, the number, 704-570-1110. And if you're shy, get over it. Call, okay? Because you all typically call me on Monday because some of these questions are awesome. So give us what you got and we'll take it. But if not, Amber Holt from Costner Law and I are here to discuss so many things. Amber, welcome. This is your first time with me.
Thank you so much, Paul. I'm happy to be here.
I am happy to be here with you, too. And Amber helps my team out of the Costner Law Office, and she has been putting up with me for the 10 years she's had with Costner so far. So far, she's still sticking with me, and that's really good. And your folks are over listening today as well, right?
That's correct. They're out there listening to us today.
Oh, good. Well, hello to them.
They might call in.
Well, come on. All right, Jesse, thanks for being on the boards today. And let's just go ahead in this first segment and launch into it. And if you're out there and you come up with a question on what we're talking about, or even if we're not, let's go for it. All right. So one of the most misnomer subjects, Amber, that we face, not only from a legal perspective, but also from a contractual respect, is this due diligence. Still, a lot of people don't understand it.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
You know, the best and easiest definition for me has always been layaway. I call it layaway of a house, right? You know, I think, you know, in looking at the discussions and kind of the notes we had running back and forth, due diligence kind of makes sense now, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, it from both perspectives, right? From both the buyer and the seller's perspective, it makes a lot of sense because on the buyer's side, it's essentially securing them getting the property off of the market, the seller's property off the market, while they had that time to, if you will, do their due diligence, right?
Yeah, right.
So, and then at the same time, it gives them skin in the game so that the sellers know that they're going to get money for that time that they've taken that property off the market.
Yeah. And what's interesting is strategically, if you think about certain segments of the market that we're in right now, it's an awesome tool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm not going to give away all my tricks, but I will say, and then Jay will be with you in just a second. I'm going to say that when you have a home that has five offers, Amber, you know, you're in a competitive type situation.
Sure.
Wouldn't you think the amount of skin in the game has some bearing on the outcome?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, I look at a lot of things and I say, you know, as an offer and I'm working with a seller, it's not always about the top line number. You know, there are other aspects, right?
Right. Absolutely. For sure.
You know, and during that due diligence time, it's a great time where you can look at the defects. You can get your inspections done. You can get your appraisals done. You can lock up your financing. And then on the secondary piece of it, if you cancel during that due diligence period, what happens to your earnest money?
Well, you still get your earnest money, but you are going to lose that due diligence, right? Because that's that protection piece for the seller. But
yeah. You know, when I'm sitting down with a husband and wife at the table in their kitchen, you know, and we're talking about the due diligence, you know, their eyes kind of glass over a little bit. And I said, well, look at it this way. If you go to Kohl's and you find a swimsuit you want, and you're not sure if the sale over at Belk's is going to have your size, you go put it in layaway.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Right. And if Belk's is having the sale and it's a better deal, if you leave it behind, they keep your money and put it right back on the shelf.
That's right.
So it's kind of a great way to really look at that and say, you know, hey, finally, there's a little bit of mutual skin in the game because I would say in every situation, the buyer wants to buy and the seller wants to sell. Otherwise, you're not going through that scenario, right?
Right. I mean, and you don't want the seller in a situation where the buyer is putting in 10 offers on 10 different homes and then kind of picking and choosing.
Hand-pecking which one they ever get.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times in this scenario, I'm seeing due diligence fees in excess. I think where I see frustration is a lot of the younger agents are putting, you know, very insignificant amounts down on very high popular property. All right. You want to pop Jay on first, and then Xander will talk to you. Go ahead. Hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm doing great, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. How are you guys?
I'm good, my friend.
Doing
how
well,
can I help
you?
Well, I mean, mine's more basic. I have one rental property. Mm-hmm. I follow a lot of the rules that I've seen over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about due diligence. We did our research. It's close to home. I know the neighborhood. I know the schools. And I'd like to get another. I'm the only one out here rooting for a sales or a real estate crash. And when that happens and I can afford to buy more rental, I'm wondering if there's ever a way to avoid the 20% down.
The 20% down? As far as for the financing?
That's correct. As a rental income property, we were always told you had to have at least 20% down.
All right. So if I give you one of my secrets, you promise not to tell anybody?
Let it go. It's between you and me. I promise.
Okay. All right. All the other 25,000 people listening, they're just going to shut their ears off for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let me give you a hint, okay? Anytime you go to a traditional bank and you want to finance a piece of rental property, once you sign all the paperwork, what do you think they do with that loan?
Well, they sell it and they farm it and they try to get lower rates and better money coming in.
Yep, that is exactly right. Okay, so what if you went to a credit union and offered to purchase a piece of rental property? What do you think they do?
You know, I don't know. I didn't know if this is a federal law or if this is guidelines, and I never really knew the difference. So I'm hearing what you're saying, it must be a guideline.
So what I'm suggesting to you is check with a credit union. Because okay. Most of the time when it's an in-house loan, certainly everybody has their own guidelines. I'm not a mortgage officer, so please consult a mortgage officer for more information, but I did have a good night's sleep last night.
Perfect.
So what I'm saying to you is check with a credit union, and you can join them for $5. and see what kind of terms they'll give you. I bet you it's better than 20.
Well, that's great advice. I appreciate you sharing that, and I promise it's between you and me.
You and me, man. And when you're ready to buy that investment property, consider me. I'd love to help you.
I would. I'll absolutely do that. But thank you again for your time and all the advice. Have a great rest of the day.
All right, my friend. Be well. Hey, Zandra, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing fine.
How can I serve you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course, dear. How can I serve you?
I am I'm a senior citizen. I'm single.
Okay.
And I own property that, well, I built a house on property my parents deeded to me.
Uh-huh.
And after their death, we sold their home.
Okay.
But there was a pond between us.
Yes.
And my house I built just 15 feet. I own probably 10% of the pond. There's just a little cove that I own. It's not a major thing. But now the people we sold it to, they're wanting to develop it.
Okay.
And so they just drained the pond, which I have big 20-foot windows just facing it, and it's just upset my plan. But anyway, and also, I mean, they didn't tell me they were going to drain it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I own probably 10% of it.
Okay.
And also, they had it surveyed, and their back corner is probably 20 or 30 feet different from mine.
Okay. Hold on one second, Dana.
I just need some advice.
Okay. There's a lot there. Okay. So let me tell you what we got to do. We are coming to a hard break. So just stay on the phone. Okay, and we'll give you some guidelines, but we're probably going to have to handle most of what you're asking offline because there's some things I don't want to ask on the air.
Okay.
So just hang tight, and other callers, hang tight. We'll get back with you. Hard break here, but we'll be right back to show your Real Estate Today, News 1110, 99.3, Paul Jamison and Amber Holt. Stay with us.
Thank you.
Welcome back. We're coming back with a vengeance because Jesse is here. And the show, Your Real Estate Today. Thanks for tuning in. If you just popped on, this show's about real estate. I'm here with my good friend and a partner to Jamison, the Costner Law Group, Amber Holt. She is here taking any of your real estate questions that she can, questions you may have that are appropriate for her, and she might answer other stuff too, because she's a pretty smart lady.
Thank you, Paul.
704-570-1110. We got Xandra, Kelly, and Steve. Stay with us. We're going to get to your calls real quick. So if you're tuning in, 704-570-1110, if you have a real estate question, we're here to answer it. So don't be scared. Pick up the phone. We want to talk to you. We love your questions, and others learn too. All right. Xander, let's finish up with you, and then Steve was next, right? And then Kelly. Okay. All right. So, Xander, we talked about your issue at the break, okay?
Yes.
So here's what I want to do. I'm going to hand you over to Amber, and she is going to give you a number to call. So have you got something to write down with?
I do.
Okay. Because I would say I'm not an attorney. Amber is, but she's going to need more info.
Yeah, we absolutely did. Xandra, I really appreciate your call, but we need to speak more about it and get a little bit more research on our end before we can get really into depth with what the issue is here with the egress that you're having. So if you would, I'm going to give you the number, and if you'll write this down and give us a call, our number is 980-219-7637.
219-7637.
7637. So that's 980-219-7637.
Okay, I have it.
Okay. So, and I think you can understand, when you get into issues of egress, and this is for everyone else too, when you get into issues of egress, you get into issues of when they drain ponds and you all the other pieces, it has a lot of moving parts. And so I want to make sure you get good, solid advice, Xandra, and we're going to make sure you do that. So you call them on Monday, okay?
I will do that.
We look forward to speaking to you.
Thanks again. Have a blessed day. All right. Hey, Steve, what's happening?
Oh, how's everybody doing?
Oh, we're shaking it today. Talk to me. What you got going on?
Real quick. flipping. Is the market about to dry up, or are we looking at more foreclosures, or is there still a lot of houses out there to buy cheap and flip, or what's going on there?
You know, Steve, I'm glad you asked that question. The consensus from what I'm seeing activity-wise is the real flipping opportunity, and again, it's a slow track flip, is on houses over 400,000, believe it or not.
Wow.
The low end flipping is so competitive and the margins are so thin, you have really less and less room for contingencies. I mean, Amber, you do closings every single day, all day. That marketplace from zero to 300,000 is off the chain.
It is.
Yeah. And the opportunity for flips, wholesaling, all those other pieces. A lot of times, I'm not a fan of wholesaling. And what I mean by wholesaling is somebody ties up a house and then flips the contract for several thousand dollars to somebody else. I think that's a kind of a low form of real estate. I'm not a fan of that. But, you know, the margins are so thin on flipping with the contingencies that you can run into that it's a tough game. And
well, I flip for a guy that he's done, I think we've done one this year, two or three last year. Again, not knowing all his expenses. He's done pretty well. The one we did last year in university, he bought for 101. He put about 70 in it and sold it for $249.9.
Wow.
He has done very well on some of these he has found. Don't know where he finds them, but his check cashes, and that's really what I care about.
Amen, brother. And if he can keep finding them, he shouldn't tell anybody where he's getting them.
I don't think he is, because I mean, he's done fairly well. I mean, he did one in Rock Hill, and it was a modular.
Oh.
And he paid, I think it was $35 for it, and I think he wholesaled it. He wholesaled it, made about $15,000 on it, and the guy that bought it has since flipped it, and he made money on it. So I guess it was a win-win for everybody. But
sounds
they're
like
out
it.
There. I have people ask me about the bad parts of town. I go, be careful. You know, even the bad parts of town, there some of the houses being sold are really in the 70s and 80s. I'm working on one off Bates Ford Road, 1050 square feet, built in 53.
Mm-hmm.
And the aftermarket value on that, on the repair after repair value, is about 95.
Yeah, and see if you can if you know what you're doing and you build in the contingencies, it's fine. But I think to your point, Steve, I think that's it's a thin market, and you know you got to just be careful. It's not like it used to be, but the upper end does have some opportunity to flipping. But the more you spend, the higher the risk, right?
Do you think that the market with anything maybe under 100, 150? With the economy being so good, those people in that market or that yearly income has it, and the higher end people are struggling.
See, a lot of people don't want that big mortgage anymore. That's really what's happening. Is the big houses are going out of vogue, and that market has always been relatively small. We've got a lot of people that have put on hold buying a house, and Kelly, hang on, we'll get right to you. And they've put it off, and now they can't put it off any longer. And with 109 people a day coming into this market, there are just not enough houses. So I'm seeing those cheap houses go 20, 30, 40,000 over asking price.
Yeah.
And they don't have the cash to compete. So there's just lots of pieces and going to have to go. But I think it's a great question, Steve, and something we always got to keep our eye on.
Sounds good. And stay with a budget when you flip, unless you get surprises and they're out there. Paul, thanks much.
Bye. All right, friend. Take care. All right. Kelly, we got time. Bring it to us. How are you? Kelly?
Oh, hi there. I am here. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yes, I do have a quick question regarding your previous conversation about due diligence.
Lay it on me.
All righty. You have a buyer and seller who enter into a contract. Due diligence fee is given. Then buyer and seller mutually agree to terminate the contract and look at entering into an option agreement. They're unable to agree on terms of option agreement. And yep. this takes, you know, several weeks into a month and a half.
Yep.
At that point, who owns that due diligence money?
Okay.
So really, from the start, I mean, it was kind of like Paul was saying earlier, it's layaway, right? So from the start of paying that due diligence, you've already agreed that the seller is going to be able to obtain that due diligence money, regardless of whether you execute on the contract or not. So it's more like a layaway to just kind of hold it off the market so that right. they had that option.
And as long as it cancels during the due diligence period, the earnest money, if there
Correct.
Was any,
Absolutely.
Goes back to the buyer.
But this was just due diligence.
Yeah, due diligence is once you, and I'm not going to say all cases, and if you hang on, we'll give you a couple of instances. But in this particular case, with the facts you've given us, it goes to the seller. You agree, Amber?
I agree, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, stay with us, folks. The show, Your Real Estate Today, we've got a hard break. Sorry about that, Kelly, and we will pick up more with you on the way back. 704-570-1110, the show, Your Real Estate Today. Amber Holt with Costner Law, Paul Jamison. Stay with us. 704-570-1110, the show, Your Real Estate Today. Call us if you have a real estate question. Come on, folks, we're here, and we're here and available to take them. If you've got something going on with your piece of real estate, I've got Amber Holt with Costner Law here. She is also available if you have a question that may have a legal twist, or even if you don't, it doesn't matter. You want to fix something, change something, do something, borrow something, tenant something, investment something, loan something. Throw it to us, 704-570-1110. And don't be scared. Okay. Because we know that if you're thinking it, somebody else probably is. But wanted to make sure we finished. The last caller talked a lot about the due diligence money. And you know, Amber, the thing about it is yes, it is non-refundable, but there's a couple, you know, an instance or so where it's not, but it takes a little bit more work, right?
Yeah, a little bit of a twist. So we've got that appraisal addendum that Costner Law did for you, that we've mm-hmm. done for you in the past.
Yes.
And essentially, if the home doesn't appraise within the period of time, then the due diligence money can be refundable if that home doesn't appraise according to how we've drafted that appraisal addendum. So in that instance, it is.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about it, let's think about the semantics of this for a minute. Okay. So the gentleman that called earlier was talking about the prices in that lower price point.
Right.
You know, we put a piece of property on the market, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, for $139,000.
Okay.
All right. We had 11 offers. And all of them were high.
Right.
Well over our asking price.
Okay.
Okay. And if at some point appraisal becomes a concern, right? And so as a buyer, you have an option to present that appraisal addendum to protect your due diligence money.
Absolutely.
Because the due diligence money was also significant.
Sure. I mean, it's been going up. We've seen that in the trends lately, especially here in Charlotte, that what used to be hundreds that people were paying for due diligence, it's kind of translated now into thousands. And so what are your thoughts on that, too? And are we going to continue to see it continue to creep up like that?
Yeah. And that price point, because inventory is so right. thin, I mean, we're seeing on a $139,000 house, you know, a couple thousand dollars in
right.
due diligence money. And a lot of these young couples, they got one shot.
Right.
They don't have the cash to, you know, do it again.
Right, absolutely. If it doesn't appraise, you feel like you're standing there holding the bag. So.
That's right. So something I think to take a look at, you know, what if something about the house, let's all of a sudden the seller knew that, you know, the roof had a huge leak in it and didn't tell anybody.
Sure.
Does the due diligence money come back then?
So we really want to look then, because that's a material defect, essentially, that was not disclosed. And at that point, we were looking more at a breach of contract. And in that situation, you're going to the heart of the contract negotiation. What did they put in the contract that said what are the damages that the buyer could seek
mm-hmm.
if there was a material defect that was not disclosed? In that case, depending on the terms in the contract, absolutely, that due diligence money may be coming back to them.
Yeah. Well, you know, due diligence is a strategy. Due diligence is also an opportunity for buyer and seller to bring themselves together and have skin in the game. But I caution you, if you're purchasing, think about or selling. Don't just look at the top number. Create a set of terms that are valuable to the seller, and learn to ask this question. And this is something, Amber, that I do often. I ask the selling agent, what other than money is important to your seller? And you'd be surprised at the answers that I get.
Sure.
So, something to think about. All right, who we got, Jesse?
We have a Dennis on line
Dennis?
One. Yes.
Okay, all right, because you didn't spell it right, so I wasn't exactly sure. Sorry about that, Dennis. Jesse can't spell. So, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
How can I serve you, friend?
I just wanted to tell Amber hello and that her mother and I are listening to the program just
so
as
sweet.
She thought we would.
Oh, well, good. We're so glad that you're with us. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Dad.
You got a question? You got a question, Dennis, that you can stump her with?
No, I wouldn't go into trying to stump her.
Okay, all right. So you're not going to give me any childhood stories or anything that I can use later?
I could do lots of things, but I better not.
Well, you tell Davita that we're all so thankful that she's listening, and thanks for calling.
Thank you both.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye now. Eh, that's nice.
Doggone
it, Dennis, what do I got to pay to get some of these stories is what I'm thinking.
That was a nice change of pace here.
It was. That's right. This is a family show.
Right.
That's right. 704-570-1110. You have a real estate question. You've got a question for Amber or myself. Call us. Or if you're a relative of Amber, you can call and say hi, too.
No family stories, though.
Okay. If you want your name terribly spelled, call me, too.
Okay. All right. So I want to kind of go a little bit farther, Amber, into our conversation. And one of the things that I want to make sure we covered, and I'm like skipping like way ahead for a minute because I want to give whatever ample time we need to do that. And I want to give you a little background, folks, of what I'm going to talk to Amber about. And that is encroachments. Now, we're off the due diligence layaway game and we're kind of moving into the survey game. And those are typically found in older houses. We see a lot, because of that shortage of inventory, we're starting to see a lot of older houses come onto the marketplace, right? And believe it or not, there's a lot of my listeners out there that have family homes that are sitting empty and finally calling me and saying, you know what, this house that belonged to my mother or father has been sitting empty for a while. I want to do something with it. And so when they do a survey, they're finding that the neighbor's driveway, the neighbor's bushes, the neighbor's fence, the neighbor's shed is actually a foot or two on their land.
Sure.
And in order to make the sale go through, you have to have some clear boundaries.
Sure. So basically similar to that appraisal addendum that we talked about earlier, Costner also has drafted what they have is an encroachment addendum. And what that basically protects is that if that driveway is a foot or two on your neighbor's property, just as Paul was talking about, that essentially, as long as it is properly maintained, that they have the right to have that driveway there. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, the driveway is not properly maintained, then that addendum becomes void.
Right. And what's interesting is I would say, Amber, let's put a non-scientific number on it that means nothing to anybody other than me. 90% of the time, the adjoining parcel has no issue with anything related to that.
Correct.
They don't care.
Sure.
Right? Fence, driveway, whatever.
Sure. It's going to come up when it sells, though.
Right.
Yeah.
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 But even when it sells, that's the key of doing a survey, right?
Correct.
How many times have you looked at a survey and went,
uh-oh.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it doesn't mean you can't sell the house.
Sure.
But, you know, is there some type of if the neighbor's fence is encroaching on the property that's getting ready to sell, is there something that the new buyer can do to let the neighbor know that they know?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we can draft up that addendum for that and then essentially have everybody sign off on it so that going forward, everyone's aware, notices have been given, and as long as we talked about it's properly maintained,
yeah,
they'll be good to go.
Does the title insurance company care?
The title insurance company can insure over it. So as long as everybody's on the same page, you can get the title insurance company to essentially take a look at that and insure for it going forward.
Right. Do they typically, though, in issues that are known like that, offer, say, you know, we're going to insure everything except that? Or what if you don't do a survey? Does that keep the title insurance from protecting you if you come up with an encroachment later?
Not necessarily. I mean, but you do because you always have, because the buyers are basically going to sign a survey waiver if they do waive the right to do the survey. And not necessarily. So it would be something that you would have to talk to the title insurance company about and see if even if the survey wasn't done, if it was something that they were willing to insure for.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've done with Amber and I've done a lot with Costner is, let's say the buyer decides at the last minute they want to do a survey, but it's already closed. So we'll do a survey and then I'll take that survey and I'll give it to you. What do you do with it?
We'll go ahead then and get it insured with the title insurance company. So we both send it to, we include it in the title binder, and then we make it a part of essentially that title binder.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I came across this week was quite interesting that in this old, the whole reason why it came to my mind, actually. Do I got to go to break, Jesse?
No, you're fine.
Okay. The whole reason it came to my mind, see, I'm just going to keep going over all those other commercials. You don't want to listen to those. All right, so the septic tank lines crossed under the drain field, crossed under the property line into the neighbors.
Okay.
And the neighbor refused to sign an encroachment agreement for those drain lines. So there you have them. They're underground, but it's still an encroachment, whether it's on top of the ground or under the ground. I mean, who'd have thought?
Right.
But they drew the lines and no one cared. But now this person won't sign an encroachment agreement. So it's something that was discovered well into the fact. Nobody knew.
Sure.
So the whole septic system has to be changed and the drain lines have to be changed.
Right.
So interesting stuff, encroachments. All right, the show Your Real Estate Today, we're going to go to break. But before we do that, we want to make sure you know that very early in the process, you can avoid these kind of things, can't you, Amber?
You can. You can contract for anything, can't you?
You sure can. And you should do as much due diligence as you can and contact Costner Law or a real estate agent as early as possible to make sure you mitigate for those kinds of issues that you don't want to do at the closing table.
Absolutely not. Protect yourself at the beginning.
Yeah, that's the worst place to deal with those issues is the closing table. All right, the show Your Real Estate Today. I'm here with Amber from Costner Law. I'm Paul Jamison, your host of the show Your Real Estate Today. News 11, 10, 99, 3, WBT. Stay with us. Wow, Jesse, you're talented.
These dance moves are fantastic.
I'm liking this stuff. No, you need to get off the table. I can't see the cue screen, so if you don't mind.
He's talking to Jesse, not me.
But yeah. But it feels so good when I dance on the table.
The show Your Real Estate Today. If you're just tuning in, you're wondering, why in the heck were we talking about that? So the show Your Real Estate Today here on News 11, 10, 99.3 WBT. I'm Paul Jamison, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. I'm your host today here with Amber Holt with Costner Law Firm. Glad you're with us and thankful. If you're tuning in and you've got a real estate question, we're in the final segment. We'd love to hear from you. But we're going to talk about some things in this segment around contracts, around the process, and around the deed, the general warranty deed and special warranty deed. So we really want to share some information with you that we think will be helpful and knowledgeable, but we also welcome your questions, 704-570-1110. So don't be scared. It's all right. We want to hear. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Okay, here we go. All right. Now, just this morning, my clients signed a builder contract on a new home. And this afternoon, my clients are signing a resale contract. created by the Bar Association affiliated with the North Carolina Real Estate Commission. They are very different.
They are indeed.
I mean, like, very different.
They are. There's a couple of real differences that I think sometimes people aren't aware of when they go into these contracts.
All right, lay it on me.
So first, there are a few differences, and depends on who's paying what, depending on whether or not it's that residential closing between a buyer and a seller or a builder closing.
Right.
So I'm going to say about 99% of the contracts that I've seen for builders, it requires a buyer to pay the transfer tax fee to the state as well as that HOA transfer fee. And that's very confusing for a lot of buyers and agents, quite frankly, because they're expecting it to go like a residential closing
right.
would, where the seller pays those fees.
Right.
So, and along those same lines, the prorated taxes. I just had this happen yesterday where an agent said, well, how do they get their money back on the taxes when those bills are released in September? And my answer was, they're signing an agreement saying that those prorated taxes are final. So as of the closing, those rates are not adjusted. And right. that goes back again to the contract, right? The builder puts that in the contract that they are paying those prorated taxes from the beginning of that year to the date of the closing. And 9 times out of 10, the year before, those taxes were based off of raw land. So there is going to be a difference there that unfortunately the buyer has already contracted that they would pay.
Yeah, and you know what's also very interesting, and I heard this again this morning. We talked earlier about addendums, us being able to attach addendums that
sure.
protect our clients.
Sure.
You know, the builder.
Not on a builder contract, no.
Yeah. And we've also found the inability to make any changes.
Sure.
Is like, it is zero.
Correct.
So, and the language in the builder contract, do you find it to be leaning one way or the other?
Well, I mean, certainly when the builder's attorney drafts the contract, they're drafting it in the light most favorable to the builder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's going to be in the light most favorable to their client, which yeah. makes sense.
Yeah.
From a contract perspective.
Yeah. So how does that compare then to the North Carolina contract?
Well, I mean, honestly, when a buyer or seller are closing, I mean, you're essentially going in knowing that it's kind of neutral, right? Like
right.
you're basically, it's not where one is more beneficial to one or the other.
Right.
A lot of times, I mean, the contracts are being drafted by an attorney who may be representing both parties, because as long as it's in the closing, as long as things are neutral, there's no disputes, anything like that, then, you know, you're good to go.
Right. You know, it's interesting because I think you put it really well, Amber. The North Carolina contract, you know, in all its glory, with due diligence and earnest money and due dates and times, it's a mutual contract.
Sure. Yeah.
It has limits that are very clear to both parties. A builder contract, on the other hand, you can attach to the North Carolina, you can attach addendums that
sure.
become agreeable, like we talked about earlier, that due diligence appraisal addendum.
Sure.
The builder contract, on the other hand, you know, going through it again today, you know, for example, the build time they tell you is, you know, 6 to 8 months, but in the contract they have 2 years to build it. Almost every single builder has that.
Absolutely.
There's no, I mean, they're all saying it. And you can't, the terms and conditions, although you understand, it isn't mutual. And I thought that was a really good way to put it, because the builder contract is not there to protect the buyer.
It certainly isn't. I mean, it's there to protect them and their assets, right? They're going
yeah.
in, building a development, so they're trying to protect those assets.
They're trying to cover their assets, that's for sure. That is about the truth of that matter. All right. So how do you feel, speaking of contracts, you know, I continue to hear rumors that, you know, it's all digital. Digital, digital, digital. Everything on the iPad, everything on the computer. You're never going to pick up a pen again. Everything is going to be click and point and click and point. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think if I had a nickel for every time an agent asked me, are we going to ever see this process go digital? You know, I'd probably be pretty rich, right, outside of anything else. But honestly, you know, I don't know that it is, because there's something to be said about sitting down with an attorney and having them answer your questions on the spot as you're going through these very lengthy, very time-consuming documents that have been drafted you're explaining them in real time as the questions come up, and having to explain those documents and what they say to the buyers. And if that's not there, right, if you're doing everything digitally or by DocuSign, you're not having that representative there that's helping you through that process.
Yeah, and I think you hit on a real hot spot there. And, you know, it's kind of like texting, right? Negotiating through text. I get it. I just don't do it.
Sure.
For that exact reason. You know, it's okay to say, you know, are you home for dinner? Text. Yes. What time will you be home? Text. 5. But my counteroffer is X, na, 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 terms this, do this, and we want the washer and dryer. You know? Okay, but I think it's better, hey, Amber, here are our terms, here are our conditions, here are some things to consider to relay to XYZ, and I'll back it up with a quick email to you.
Sure, and I mean, you have there are implications that come into validity with the statute of frauds, right? I mean, yeah. Because North Carolina, a contract does have to be in writing.
Yeah, and so if I tell you that, sure. Is that legal? If we just talk, is that a binding contract?
Is it binding? No. I mean, you would hope that someone would stick to their word, right? But it's not legally enforceable unless it's in writing.
Okay, so if I write a set of terms on the back of my Shoney's napkin, is that binding?
If you have that properly executed.
I can't tell if that's barbecue sauce or a period. I'm a little confused,
is that,
Paul.
Is that a decimal point or a pepper? Yeah. You know something, though? Amber, and it's so funny because I always say, you know, I was doing deals when you wrote them out on a napkin and everybody signed it.
Sure.
And it was definitely executable.
Sure.
And I think the real point that I want people to hear, and Amber's pointing that out, is it's got to be in writing. And it's got to be enforceable. It's good stuff. All right, Amber, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Paul. I really appreciate it.
I had fun.
I did, too. And I enjoyed the dance moves of Jesse over there.
Yeah, Jesse's got the moves. He's young enough. All right. Well, thanks for being with us today. If you've listened for the first time, we thank you. If you're a longtime listener, we also thank you. Amber with Costner Law, you can call them at 980.
It is 980-219-7637.
And you can always get me 846-DONE, 846-3663, Jameson Realty, Jameson Property.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.